From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and you are listening to Love to Love. Last week, we had a very interesting conversation with Brother Sai Prakash of Radio Sai on his tryst with Swami and music. And today, we are continuing with the same conversation. Now, Sai Prakash joined Swami's primary school in the year 1984. He later graduated from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning with an MSc in Biosciences in the year 2000. Swami then handpicked him to join Radio Sai in 2001 when Radio Sai was inaugurated. Now, if you have missed the first part of this conversation, you can download it and listen at your convenience from the Thursday live archives of our website at www.radiosai.org. So, dear listeners, happy listening. Sai Ram, Sai Prakash, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Chandu. Thank you for inviting me.
So, last time we were talking about how in 2001 you had got this amazing opportunity of playing in front of Swami almost every day, every alternate day, before bhajans for 15 minutes, sitar.
Correct.
In 2001 itself, after you finished your PG, yes, Swami handpicked you for joining Radio Sai. And it is no secret that Professor G. Venkatraman is a very hard taskmaster. And I'm sure you had to spend a lot of time because you were not familiar with this territory that time when you
very
joined,
true,
obviously.
Very true.
So you had to spend a lot of time picking up new skills.
That's right.
Probably which you never thought you have to pick up.
Never, so, never dreamt of it.
But that was also the time when you had just started playing in Mandir.
That's right.
So obviously you had to spend a lot of time practicing.
Correct.
To get that right for 15 minutes every day or every alternate day.
Correct.
So the big question is, how did you manage both?
I really can't remember how it happened, but it just happened because, yes, the work was tight and there was no legal training as such. Mm-hmm. So we had to pick up everything on the fly. But that was true with everything that we did.
True.
Even sitar for that matter,
yes,
as we spoke last time. And everything was being done with love for Swami, so it just happened. But I would really put an effort in getting up early in the morning and practicing sitar. That it was so tight, I didn't really have time for general practice as such. I had to concentrate on what I was going to play.
How early would you get up?
Sometimes 4, sometimes 3:30.
Okay, and, that's very early.
Yeah, it's quite early because then after, you know, there was this gap. After I finished my master's in April, May, once the college started again, till we joined office on October 1st.
Okay.
So during this waiting period, quote-unquote, waiting period, I used to practice for a longer time,
okay,
at home. But once I joined office, then it was the morning slot.
Mm, okay.
But really speaking, we worked very hard at that time. And going for morning bhajans, I was playing harmonium for the morning bhajans. And then once you come back, you know, you're busy with work and then again early morning get up for practicing sitar. But Swami made sure it just went on. It was really amazing. It's purely His grace, I would say.
So Sai Prakash, you're like a jack of all trades. Okay. Now, how did all the music practice that you did of harmonium and sitar,
yes,
how did it help after you joined Radio Sai,
mm-hmm,
purely from a work point of view? Did it help and how did it help?
Actually, that's a very nice point you're asking, because generally people tend to think that if you're a musician and you have to continue as a musician in your profession, and that's when it'll really be helpful. But in my case, it was helpful in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I was given the responsibility of doing video editing.
Okay.
And, a musician has a sense of rhythm,
mm-hmm,
and he has a sense of beat. That is absolutely essential for a video editor.
Okay.
In fact, I think it won't be out of place to say that there is a very famous film editor named B. Lenin,
mm-hmm,
and he has won many national awards. He is in Chennai, and I had done a documentary which I had sent it through some of my friends, and it went to him. And he is a national award winner, and he is a guru actually in editing. When he saw my editing, he was very happy. And he says, it's difficult to believe that this boy has not learnt editing.
Okay.
And I felt this is absolutely Swami's grace, because getting a pat from a renowned person like that,
true, true.
It's purely Swami's doing.
True.
And he actually got a team of editors and came to Puttaparthi, and he inspired us and taught me. And he, in fact, told some of his students, look at this fellow, because of his music knowledge, you see how he's cutting it on beat.
Okay.
You know, when you're making music videos, it's very easy because you have to edit the video on beat.
Okay.
Or off beat, as you choose. But when you're doing documentary, there has to be an inherent rhythm. There has to be a pace, a tempo. The tempo at which you start the editing and the tempo at which you start the documentary, whether you want to maintain the tempo, there is an unseen rhythm, actually. Oftentimes what I would do is put a pilot track with some music,
okay,
just to get the feel of the edit, and the music will be changed later. And later I realized that's the way even professionals do it. These are things which just came naturally, to get a proper rhythm. So in that way, music was really helpful. And of course, apart from that, I got the chance to play the signature tune.
Yes,
for
let's
radio.
Hear about that.
that's very interesting, because in 2001, we joined in October, having no clue that Swami is going to bless Radio Sai. This was actually, as everybody knows, a channel donated by WorldSpace at that time. And Swami called Professor Venkatraman and asked him, can you handle this?
Okay.
He said, Swami, I have no experience in handling a radio station, but if you say so, I'll do it. And there it was. We were, you know, suddenly given this huge challenge of maintaining a 24/7 radio channel. Initially, all we had in our hand was few discourses and Sundaram Bhajans, very frankly. But slowly, Radio Sai has grown over the years. Now, what happened was, for the initial opening broadcast, they wanted a special program.
Okay.
So that was to be on 23rd November 2001. That is on Swami's birthday, 2001.
Okay.
So the whole thing was, on 5th or 6th of November, we had to send a pack of 4-5 CDs to Australia, Melbourne.
Okay.
Because Melbourne was the broadcast center. The CDs had to be sent well in advance, and they had to load it on the jukebox and then queue it and keep it ready for the initial broadcast. The whole idea was, Swami would come and sit on the stage, and then there would be an introduction. And the moment Swami would press the button, the glow board saying Sai Global Harmony would light up, and the initial broadcast would start.
Okay.
And the technology was still primitive at that time. They didn't have internet and all that,
yes,
as rampant as it is today. So there were two mobiles in the bhajan hall.
Okay.
I'm sure Venkatraman sir has mentioned this in a couple of times in some of his talks about the initial broadcast, but there's no harm in repeating it. There were two mobiles in the bhajan hall, both of them on hot lines, you know, online with Australia in Melbourne.
Okay.
And the moment Swami pressed the button, we told them, start. And I think there was a deadly 10 to 12 second delay.
Okay.
Those 12 seconds, each one was holding on to something nearby, either the stone pillar or the metal railing or something that could give them support, because I'm sure GV sir would have been holding on to the mic on the podium. It was really tense, 10 seconds.
The delay was because needed time to
exactly,
for the broadcast
exactly
to come from Australia.
So they opened the broadcast, and it really had it took about 10 seconds for it to reach here.
Okay.
And it was, the receiver was connected to the PA system.
Okay.
So the moment Swami pressed the button, we told them to start, and it took 10 seconds for it to come.
Okay.
And the moment it came, there was a thunderous applause, and the first thing that was played was a signature tune.
Okay.
And that signature tune was Hari Bhajan Bina Sukh Shanti Nahi. Now, going backwards, one day I was in the planetarium, and we were working at the planetarium at that time. And when this whole thing was just starting, one of my seniors gave me a keyboard. He says, play some bhajans on it.
Okay.
And I was wondering what it is for. Then he said, see, we are likely to have a 24/7 radio channel and we want you to play some bhajans since you play harmonium. I said, okay, I'll play. And I played few bhajans. I thought, let us play Swami's bhajans.
Okay.
Because that would be a nice for a signature tune. So go in the Krishna Jai, Hari Bhajan Bina, Prema Modita. Then we also put Punya Naam, Pavitra Naam. Mm-hmm. So I played these different bhajans. And at that time, you know, we didn't have this kind of track recording that we do today.
Yes.
You put all the bass in one nice track, then you make the lead. You know, I had to actually do it live on the keyboard. You can start playing and then press one button, then the beat will start.
Yes, yes.
So you had to program it on the keyboard itself. I was not very good at that, and there was no time. So because they said Swami is wanting to hear mm-hmm. the signature tune, so I did something. Then I went to Silesh sir, who is a very good keyboard and harmonium player,
and then teachers in the higher secondary school.
Teachers in the higher secondary school. I remember lunchtime I went to him with the keyboard. Yes, what's happening? I said, just hear sir what I've played. Then he made some correction and
okay.
he made some suggestions. Then fine. So then it was recorded, and suddenly that I'm not sure whether that day afternoon or next day morning, we went to the Poonachandra Hall. That mm-hmm. time Swami was living in the Poonachandra Hall
okay.
before the Yajur Mandir was constructed. This is 2001. So. Swami just came onto the stage, and we were sitting on the stage. Swami came in, and Swami said, "Ah, play."
Okay.
So they played the tunes, and Swami was very happy. Swami was very happy. I had played it very simple. I mean, today when I hear it, I mean, oh God, it's so simple.
Today, but in the the era of MIDI recording and sound libraries.
Exactly, sound libraries, MIDI recording, and you have counterpoints, and you
True.
Have orchestra, you can create, everything can, that was a simple tune that I had just played melody. But Swami was very happy with that, and Swami said, okay, let us have Prema Mudita as the ringtone.
Okay.
Signature tune. And so we all were happy. I remember I had played Prema Mudita with the flute combination.
Okay.
Okay. And Hari Bhajan Bina was more like a strings and with a bells kind of combination. So next day morning, Swami came out quite early for darshan, and he went straight to Professor Venkatraman, and Swami said, see, not that Prema Mudita, because in that you have Ram Ram Ram, and people will think that this is a Hindu channel.
Oh, okay.
Swami told that. Swami said, let us not have
talk about attention to detail.
I mean, just amazing. It's almost as if Swami thought. Swami does not need to think, of
yeah.
course, we know that. But the next morning, Swami came back and said, let us have Hari Bhajan Bina.
Okay.
By means of saying that's more secular. You know, bhajan is fine. So, Rama 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 and all that, let us not have
okay,
that.
Okay, okay.
So, then that is how the signature tune was chosen. And that day on 23rd November, when the signature tune came, we were totally relieved. After that, there was a welcome song sung by students and recorded by students that was played. And Swami had handpicked one of the professors who would do the initial announcement.
Okay.
For Radio Sai initial broadcast.
Okay.
And that professor's voice had come, and it went on really well, and there was a thunderous applause. I mean, how it all happened, it's just amazing. So you asked me how, whether the music knowledge was useful. You can see it. I was chosen to play the signature tune.
That's amazing. Now, that was in the initial stages of Radio Sai.
True.
But later, after mm-hmm. Radio Sai evolved a lot, and then we started this video section.
Correct.
For how many video documentaries have you given music and composed music?
See, what I would do is, very frankly, we were just 2-3 of us at that time. And we really didn't have the facilities we have now. I couldn't even, you know, connect a mic and a preamp and record what I wanted to. So I would just pick from available music.
Okay.
So whenever I edited any documentary, I would just pick from available music and put it. And then we would call musicians to recompose the music. Like, for example, The Advent, which mm-hmm. was done as early as 2003 or 2004. After the editing was done, we called the world famous Mandolin Srinivas sir. He came, and then few other musicians, and we actually played the music live.
Okay.
We recorded the music like how they do it in the movies. We played the documentary for that section.
Okay.
And then he would compose the music on the spot.
Okay. Just watching the documentary.
Just watching the documentary. He would watch that portion. And then he, Mandalin Srinivas and his brother Rajesh were sitting in the studio. There was a sitarist, a flute, a violin, tabla. Some of them were students also. Most of them were students, okay. I would say. And they would see the documentary and they would ask me what kind of mood you want here. Then I would say this kind of happy music or sad music or whatever. And then immediately they would compose and then we would record it. That's how it was. So, the music that we actually used was just for reference.
No, but later...
Later, for a couple of documentaries I made, like the Hachi,
yes,
and then Eternal
Because
Dijon.
I remember hearing sitar in those documentaries.
Few of them.
Okay.
Not many, just a few of them.
So, possibly now it is time for a musical break. And since you have your sitar with you here,
yes,
let's listen to a beautiful bhajan. Joining us with Sai Prakash is Brother Anirudh and Brother Mohan on keyboard and tabla, respectively.
Thank you.
back, dear listeners. What you just heard was Brother Sai Prakash on the sitar, accompanied by Brother Anirudh on the keyboard and Brother Mohan on the tabla in the studios of Radio Sai. So today we are now continuing our conversation with Brother Sai Prakash of the Radio Sai team, who is also a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. He had the rare privilege of joining the Sri Sathya Sai Primary School in the year 1984. And he later graduated from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 2000 and is currently working in Radio Sai. So Sai Prakash, we were talking about how the skills that you had learned as a musician came into help.
Yes, yes. They came handy when we started
doing the video editing and producing documentaries and things like that.
That's true.
Now, in 2001 itself.
Yes.
For the birthday celebrations, it was in my first UG, so I was there in Sai Kulwant Hall, and you were there on the stage with Miss Dana Gillespie performing for Swami's birthday.
That's
so
true.
Let's talk about how that came about.
Oh God, that is a big story, and maybe I'll try to give you an outline of what happened.
You can go into all the details. We have time.
I hope the listeners are not cursing me, I would say. But that's really nice to recollect, because it's good that it's being documented in a sense. 2001, September 11th was a Twin Tower blast.
Yes.
And the year 2000, Dana Gillespie had performed in the Hillview Stadium for Swami's 75th birthday. It was a fantastic performance. And where some of the songs, I remember Om Shakti, Om Shakti.
Yeah,
she
okay.
had really introduced it at that time. It really had a lot of Shakti in it and a lot of power in it. And people were really looking forward to her performance the next year on Swami's birthday. But her musicians said that we will not take the risk of traveling to a third world country.
Okay.
This was a statement. And because of the Twin Tower blast and the terrorists,
yes.
It just happened in September and this was in November.
Yes.
Of course, Dana Gillespie had arranged for their tickets and everything. And she kind of was taken aback in the last moment, because they turned around and said, no, we can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make it, we can't travel. So she was torn and she didn't know what to do. So she was actually telling us later, I wish they knew whom they were coming to play for.
Yes.
You know, so they are coming for the Lord, and Swami would have taken care. But again, she said that is Swami's will. So what happened was, she got up in the darshan line and she told Swami, "Ah, you have come. Are you ready for program?" She got up and told Swami, "I'm having very bad news. I mean, the musicians are not ready to come." Swami said, "So what? My boys are there. They will play." She never dreamt of that possibility.
Yes, okay.
And Swami almost looked as if, hello, this is a part of my plan. So he just said, you know, my boys are there. Why not you use them? And she said, Swami, I'm very happy to use them. Then Swami calls Dr. Sailesh Srivastav. Swami called him. He is a music group in charge. And Swami said, see, Dana Gillespie is going to sing.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew who she was because we have heard
yes.
her performing. And I want boys to accompany her.
Okay.
And so Sailesh sir was thinking, obviously she's a Western singer.
Uh-huh.
And she is going to sing, she's a blues singer.
Yes.
And she would require instruments like keyboard, jazz drum, congo,
guitars yes.
and all that. And he said, Swami, yes, Swami, we have boys who can play keyboard. So, sitar abbai unnade, Swami told. And Sailesh sir came and told me that
okay.
Swami asked for sitar in the first place, because
okay.
I was playing every evening. Swami, sitar is also there. He said, yes, Swami, sitar is there, but he could not connect the two. Sitar playing for Dana Gillespie. Then Swami said, violin is there?
Okay.
He said, Swami, violin is also there. Then there was mandolin, I remember, on the first year when we played. And keyboard. And before Swami could ask for harmonium, he said, Swami, keyboard. And then he said, Swami said, tabla also. You put tabla also. So he was totally taken aback, and he was telling, how is this going to blend with her kind of music? But you know, Swami is always right.
Yes.
And she had actually planned for the first time to present music which had a lot of Indian music element in it.
Okay.
So the songs that she actually brought was a pure fusion of Indian music and blues and Western chord sequences and all that. So there was actually sitar in the backing tracks.
Okay.
There was tabla. There was violin. And Swami asked the right instruments. Although Sailesh sir was at that moment bewildered. Then Swami told you all sit and practice. And Swami had told us to practice in Rajmata's house. That's mm-hmm. there here. Swami said, you all practice. Then I'll come and listen. And that year, what happened, there was no convocation drama.
Okay.
And there was this series of kavalis that Sailesh sir had composed. And they were performing the kavalis. It was a set of about 8 to 10 kavalis. And Sailesh sir was so busy because he had to play harmonium for all and he had to conduct the entire group. I played harmonium for a kavali couple of on 24th April. I mean, that was the first time I'm playing harmonium for a kavali, and it's not easy. With all the scale changes,
yes.
and with all the raga changes, beat changes, and pauses, and all that, I just can't imagine how Sailesh sir did it for 10 kavalis at a time.
No, that is very true, because I was a part of the kavali program.
Yeah.
And in the morning, Sailesh sir would go for classes in the school.
Okay.
And then he would go for Diana Gillespie's practice.
Okay.
And in the night, he would come for the kavali practice.
Oh, my
and
God.
He would be literally dozing. You know, he would be composing, and then he would be like, you know, falling asleep on the harmonium, because he was really tired.
Really
from
tired.
Morning onwards, he was like really shuttling between phrases. And he would be literally composing, you know, even though he was dozing, but he would be composing amazing tunes.
I think all composers should try that. But what happened was, so Diana Gillespie, she was happy, very happy that Swami is giving his own students.
Yes.
Her practice has always been that the backing tracks would be played at a very low volume.
Mm-hmm.
And she would give us a free hand to embellish on the spot.
Yes,
and
okay.
play, as long as you don't disturb her. We would be mic'd, we would play what is on the minus one track, as well as you can, play free.
You can
improvise on the spot. But that was the first time we were actually doing it. And she gave the backing track CD to us, and
okay.
she said, see, I have a small work in Bangalore. I'll come back on 18th or 19th.
Okay.
You boys just practice that. And when I come back, we'll have a combined practice.
Okay.
And Sailesh sir was very busy. He was very happy because he had got time for his kavali practice. And so on 18th or 19th, she came back and we went to Rajmata's house. And then she looked at us and we looked at her and she smiled and we smiled. And she said, come on, boys, let us start the practice with so much of enthusiasm. And she put on the backing tracks and we continued looking at each other's face. We looked at sir's face, sir looked at her face, we looked at her face, and we realized there was horror in her eyes because we had picked up nothing at that time. And she was a bit taken aback. Are these guys really capable of doing it?
Yeah, okay.
Because it was totally new experience for us, and especially for me. And an instrument like violin, for example, violin has four strings.
Yeah.
You can change the tuning because there's a lady's pitch. And sitar is all fixed on one scale. So
okay.
anything I had to play, I had to transpose and play. And that was
true.
Totally new concept for me, to play in one scale and then transpose and play for a lady's pitch. So what we did was, we looked at each other and she looked at us, and then she said, okay, doesn't matter, you guys have not picked up. Let us start from the beginning now.
Mm-hmm.
So she played the first track, and then we went through, and then she patiently sat and actually sat with each instrument, and she said, see, these are the things you can do. This is what is being done in the CD, but you can do this also. You can play this. And we had just a 1 or 2 days
time,
rehearsal
yes.
and practice. After that heat caught on, I took the CD and tried to practice on my own and all that. And Swami came to the house, Rajmata's house,
okay.
to see the practice.
Oh, okay.
And Diana Gillespie always had in her mind, she was actually comfortable with the rest of the group. She said, these people are able to manage. I'm sure they can manage. But she was not confident of the sitarist.
Okay.
Obviously for valid reasons, because it is quite difficult for me to imagine. You know, sa is a sa in the fret, in the sitar. I have to transpose and imagine something else as sa.
True.
And then I'm not even playing something which is based on a raga, because that's how your mind is conditioned. You're just playing random notes with a random and funny beat. I had to remember a lot, so I had to write down everything and try to practice. And oftentimes the piece what I had to play will pass and then I'll smile. And so all this was happening. So she was really not confident about... but then, you know, Swami has to cover up for everything. In the sense, again, I won't say cover up, that is his encouragement.
True.
Like, I just pray to Swami, Swami, I'm doing my best. This is all I can do. This is a totally new experience. So when Swami came to her Rajmata's house.
Rajmata's house is the one which is next to North Indian Canteen? Yeah,
yeah, almost. You know, right opposite the Shanti Bhavan.
Okay.
There are two independent buildings.
Yes, yes.
Kind of behind the Gayatri temple.
Yes, okay, side. Okay, yes.
So Swami came in there and we started the rehearsal. And... I was kind of sitting very close to Swami, next to Swami. I thought only Swami can protect me. Sitting quite close to Swami. And Swami looked at me and gave a mischievous smile. He said, are you playing anything or just sitting there? And but the practice session went on well and Swami was very happy. And Swami, I remember very clearly, Dana Gillespie came and she said, Swami, I said, what do you want? Then she said, brought the mic. And she said, Swami, this is the mic I use for all my concerts. Please bless my mic.
Okay.
And Swami said, why mic, sir? I will bless you. I will bless you. Swami was in a very nice mood and Swami blessed her profusely. And then Swami came out from the inside room. And there was a room, a longish room there, where food was actually arranged for everybody. Swami sat on one of the chairs and Swami personally took each plate and gave it to each one of us.
Okay.
Food was actually served on each plate.
Each plate, okay.
And then Swami was sitting on one of the chairs. We were just sitting around down. And we had not yet started eating. At that time, what happened? Somebody offered Swami a bowl with groundnuts.
Mm-hmm.
Swami just took two groundnuts and put it in his mouth. The moment he put it in his mouth, he just looked this side. He just looked on his left and right very subtly. Very subtly he just looked. And I knew what he was looking for. He was looking for water.
Okay.
See, Swami's water tumbler was kept in the inside room.
Okay.
And it was not expected that Swami would sit outside here. They had put a table for Swami and all that. But Swami just sat on the regular chair. And then he took two ground nuts and he just very subtly looked. I caught the point and rushed into the inside room and brought the glass of water. The moment the glass came, Swami's eyes lit up. And with so much love, you know, he took the glass from me and he took just a small sip. And Dana Gillespie says, I don't care if any boy is there in the troupe or not, I want this boy. She says whether he plays a note correctly or not, the amount of love that Swami had, Swami's eyes were lit up with so much love, and this boy also was so, you know, sensitive to what Swami wanted at that time. So she says, I don't care whether he plays one note or two notes, he has to be in my group. And as a matter of fact, in most of our programs, I was a part of
her
group.
Yes, that's right. I remember seeing you almost for every concert.
For almost most of our programs,
that.
I was there. But I did improve, but possibly not to her expectations. But this is how it happened the first time.
That's amazing story. Hmm. I remember you telling another incident with Miss Parveen Sultana too. So probably you could even narrate that.
Yeah, that is, you know, if playing for Dana Gillespie was a shock, this is a bigger shock. It's like standing on a piece of earth where you know there's going to be an earthquake or something like that. You know, what happened was, we were in Vrindavan. It was vacation time and Swami was in Vrindavan.
Yes.
And Swami was coming for darshan and Parveen Sultana had come for Swami's darshan. That's all. She had just come for darshan with her guru and husband, Ustad Dilshad Khan. They had performed in front of Swami in Puttaparthi on many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And they had come for darshan. There is a path in the Sai Ramesh Hall. And on this side, boys are sitting. On the lady side, she is sitting 1.1.
Okay.
And on the gent side, I am sitting some second or third in the boys' row. And on the edge, on the corner, this thing, near the path. Swami came. As he was coming for darshan, he looked at her and he said, "Kya aaj ga sakta hai?" Swami asked her. "Kab aaya? Aaj ga sakta hai?" Swami asked. Then she said, "Swami, I have not brought any accompanying..." Same story. "Swami, I have not brought any accompanying artist." Then Swami said, "My boys are there." And
take a break.
Yeah.
What? It's the amount of confidence that Swami had on the music boys. I mean, any artist should come, whether international, national, state level, district level. Swami's first choice would be his voice.
Really? I mean, that's the guru, that's the mother. See, very frankly speaking, we are nowhere compared to professional musicians.
True.
But it is to give us that encouragement. It is to just push us a little bit more, just to give us an opportunity. See, art, whether it's music or art, cannot thrive unless there is patronizing. Unless there are patrons who give a stage.
Okay.
Unless there are people who actually give a stage, give a viewership.
True, true.
It will never flourish.
Yes.
And Swami was the one who always gave the encouragement. Of course, in Swami's case, it was just an acceptance of our love, that's all. Swami. But, you know, in the larger scheme of things, you look at it, Swami gave the stage. Every musician who came to Swami and performed, you know, they became big. It is his blessings.
Very true.
So, on that moment, Swami looked at her and said, "My boys are there." Swami told Parveen Sultana. And the first name he said, "Sitarabbai Unnadu." I just thought, "Swami, let me just vanish from here. Let me go underground." Because Parveen Sultana, you know, what is her level? We know that it's just impossible for us to play with her. Doesn't Swami know? To play sitar with a vocal, like a jugalbandi, or even to follow, it needs tremendous control on the instrument.
True.
And as far as I know, there are not many sitarists today who are famous who play sitar with vocal, except, you know, Ustad Shahid Parvez, who plays sitar with Ustad Dilshad Khan, Ustad Rashid Khan.
Okay.
They play jugalbandi. I mean, what he sings, Ustad Shahid Parvez is able to produce on sitar. I can't even touch the U of an Ustad. I mean, it was totally unthinkable at that point of time. But Swami was just saying, "My boy is there. Sitar Abba is there. Harmonia Pula, all those things are also there. You sing today evening."
Okay.
And obviously, after the darshan, we all went to Sailesh sir. He said, "Sir," and she sent word. She said, "Please come immediately. We have to practice." She also obviously was tensed up because that evening was the program. And Sailesh sir told me very nicely, "See, it's beyond the scope of sitar to play with her."
Hmm.
I said, "Yes, sir, I understand. Swami has blessed me, but probably someday in my life I will." So getting back, you know, playing sitar with vocal is something really challenging.
Is it because the way the sitar is constructed, in the sense you can't give actually those
The control, the speed. When you're trying to compare this instrument with a vocal,
okay,
something like a sarangi, which is a flowing kind of instrument.
Yes, yes.
A flowing kind of instrument, maybe violin, sarangi, is easier.
True.
To get the vocal, the nuances of the vocal. But on an instrument like sitar, unless you have that perfect control, to get that out is absolutely difficult. So, after the morning bhajans, Begum Parvin Sutana, she called Sailesh sir and others, and sir explained to me, he said, "See, it's really beyond you to..." I said, "Sir, I understand, but it's just Swami's compassion that..." Mm-hmm. He told this way. And they went to her. But she asked, Swami told sitar boy is there, why he has not come?
Okay.
Then they told, "Madam, like, you know, it is, he's, sitar is not in the same shruti, it is very difficult." She says, "Yes, yes, I understand. Someday, as because Swami has told, maybe someday it will happen." And they practiced. And what happened was, in that evening in the concert, since I was a part of the bhajan group, I happened to be sitting with the bhajan group, and okay, Swami's chair was put right behind the bhajan group, down.
Okay.
So Swami was sitting down in Sai Ramesh Hall and looking at the stage where the performance, my brother got a chance to play Naal and Ganjira for some of the lighter songs, that Meera bhajans that she sang.
Okay.
So I happened to be sitting quite close to Swami, and Swami's chair was put there. And the moment Swami came and sat there, he looked at me and gave a very, very beautiful smile. He said, like saying that, yes, I know what it is all about. I know why you are not able to go and play. That understanding look, you know. And just as if not to make me feel bad, because I lost that opportunity, Swami was sitting on the chair and very lovingly was going on looking at me. And you know, at that time I had learned how to count.
Okay.
How to count when somebody is singing a classical music, because if it is theme tal, for example, 16 beat, you count on the fingers. There are these lines on the fingers and you count with that. So I was trying to count and try to understand how she is giving her various tans, how from where she is starting, how she is giving her tihais and all that. I was trying to, because you know, I just learned that and I was trying to find out how she is doing it. Swami looked at me. I didn't realize Swami is looking at me. Hey, boy, Swami said. Then I looked up at him. Kai ko aisa aisa karta hai. Swami was doing, showing us fingers. Why are you counting like this? Then I also smiled back. Then she started singing another song. And her husband and guru, Ustad Dilshad Khan, was sitting right next to Swami's chair.
Okay.
Suddenly Swami looked at me. And Swami said, boy, come on. So then I knelt down and I was very scared. What Swami, which ragam is this? Swami asked. Then I said, Swami, it is like Kirwani. Rag Kirwani. It is based on Rag Kirwani. And it is not exactly Rag Kirwani. It was some other raga, but almost similar to Kirwani. It was actually a raga they had composed.
Okay.
Ustad Dilshad Khan and Parveen Sohn, they had composed that raga.
Okay.
But it was on the basis of Rag Kirwani. I said, Swami, it is based on Rag Kirwani. Swami looked at Ustad Dilshad. Is he telling correct?
Okay.
He said, yes, Swami, he is correct.
So you are certified by a renowned Hindustani vocalist.
For that moment, I said, Swami. And then he said, yes, Swami, he is correct. Then Swami was very happy. Ah, sit down, sit down, sit down. I mean, it's just his love. It's just his love. How amazing.
You know, just before you narrated this incident, I was telling how Swami had so much trust in his boys, in the music group.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to have a very special trust in you, because for every concert you seem to be his first choice, whether it is Diana Gillespie or Parveen Sultana.
At that time, I think because I was playing in the mandir regularly,
every day.
I don't know what, I really don't know whether I came anywhere close to his expectations, because as I told you, the work pressure also increased.
Yes.
And that was something which Swami had given as well. So to balance out both these things was quite difficult. Nevertheless, that's all I could do at that time.
Amazing. So let's take another musical break now. Joining us with Sai Prakash is Brother Anirudh and Brother Mohan on keyboard and tabla respectively. So Sai Prakash, we were talking about how
thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. What you just heard was the bhajan Anupama Sundara by Brother Sai Prakash on the sitar, accompanied by Brother Anirudh on the keyboard and Brother Mohan on the tabla in the studios of Radio Sai. So let's now continue our conversation with Brother Sai Prakash. Sairam Sai Prakash, and let's continue with our conversation. Now this brings us to a very important landmark in Swami's life, of course, as well as your life, because you are a part of that major trip that Swami made to Hatri and Mumbai in the year of 2009.
Yes.
So let's talk a little about that, because you are a part of a select few boys who accompanied Swami in that trip.
Actually, it happened in a slightly interesting manner, in the sense Swami had called certain boys to the interview room, and Swami was mentioning names and adding the boys to the list. He was asking them whom else you need, whom else you require. And then my name was suggested because as a videographer.
Okay.
And Swami said, but he doesn't have camera. then he said, no, Swami, you are given camera, so he has got that. Oh, he knows how to take camera and all that, you know, very sweet, sweet comments. And Swami said, who is he? And this, and they said, Swami, he is there from, he has played sitar in Mandir, Swami, harmonium boy, this, that.
Okay.
And Swami was sitting, who is he? He was asking questions. He was playing the fool for some time. Then Swami said, okay. And then later, when I asked Professor Venkatraman, he told me that, you know, since he is going with Swami to Hatshi, he said, you give me that small camera, at least we'll have some record of the trip.
Okay.
And I told him, sir, it looks like I might also come because my name was suggested.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami seemed to say, okay. He said, oh, you are the boy, is it? I was taken aback. I said, what happened, sir? He said, Swami came inside and he was going on telling that sitar boy is also coming.
Okay, and Venkatraman sir, did not
he couldn't connect it because obviously he is, for him, I am only a video fan and editor.
Okay.
He thought some music college boy is coming. Because sitar boy Swami was telling, and he thought some music college boy is coming. And he, Swami, apparently repeated it 2-3 times, saying that sitar boy kuda
vastunadu. Okay.
I was so moved because I was nowhere to be seen there when the day when Swami was picking up boys. And to have remembered, and to, of course, the boy suggested my name in the first instance. But even that is Swami's will, I would say.
Yes.
And because they suggested many other names whom Swami said no.
Okay.
So it is again His grace. Then, so we went with Swami, you know, I had to take the sitar, and everybody was walking into the plane. And when my turn came, you know, the staff in the plane, they were really taken aback. What is this boy carrying and coming? And Swami was, we went in and sat, then I'm not sure whether Swami came for a round in the plane. I'm not able to recollect. But, you know, actually this reminds me of the first time I went with Swami in the plane to from Bangalore to Madurai.
Okay.
That was in
99. During the
Kodaikanal
trip.
During the Kodaikanal trip. This Hatshi trip, I'm really not able to recollect whether Swami came in between. But on that occasion in 99, you know, I had sent my sitar for repair.
Okay.
That was the old sitar, not the sitar which I have now. And that sitar had just come in the nick of time. I thought I'm just going to miss it. We came out from the hostel. It was quite dramatic because we came out from the hostel and we are walking into Thrai Brindavan. For those who know the way, a hostel is right next to Thrai Brindavan. So we are walking into the Thrai complex and we have to walk beyond Thrai and go and catch the bus which is going to take us to the airport.
Okay.
And my sitar has not yet come.
Okay.
I sent it for repair. I was walking forward, but my head was turning backward and seeing the gate. If that uncle whom I had given the sitar is going to come with the sitar or not. You know, we reached the Thrai gate, then I saw his Omni van coming into the Vrindavan campus. I said, sir, it's already the sitar has come. And I ran back. He gave me the sitar. I just took the sitar and walked in with the group.
So this was before you started playing the sitar in Mandir?
Of course. This was in 99. But what I remembered, which was very nice, is when I actually took the sitar in the plane, Swami was walking at that time.
Okay.
And he was walking, and he, the moment he saw that, he was so happy. His eyes lit up and he said, Sitar Techava. You have brought your sitar.
Okay.
And he was so, he said, put it wherever you want. There is so much place.
Okay.
So much place. Because that was the first time, you know, Swami was taking the students in the flight from Bangalore to Madurai.
Okay.
So I'm saying, put it anywhere you can put. This entire plane is ours. Like so sweetly, Swami is telling, and I will never forget because midway in the air, Swami actually started walking again, and he was telling some of the cooks and others who were saying, look outside. We are amidst the clouds. Idai Megalu, see outside,
okay.
See how nice it is. And Swami was telling them, you know, we are flying, see, when will you get a chance to see again, like that Swami was. So that was in 99. Overall, the Hatshi trip, as you said rightly, was very historic in the sense, yes, Swami has gone and inaugurated and done Prana Pratishtha for many temples, but somehow the whole energy in Hatshi was so beautiful. The whole crowd and singing Vittal, Vittal, Vittal and doing the Pandri Bhajan. And so, you know, Swami is always fond of Pandri Bhajan.
Okay.
And that, so the whole, they are called, I think, Varkaris.
Okay.
In the traditional style, they do the Pandar Bhajan. And there was a huge procession that welcomed Swami. And it was damn hot.
Okay.
It was mid-afternoon, Swami actually reached Hatshi. There was a long drive from Pune to Hatshi. But all along the road, you know, it just moves me to tears when I think of the devotion with which people were lining in the hot sun. They had removed their slippers. They're standing on the tar road. Can you imagine that? And Swami also slowed his car down. And
okay,
villagers, yeah. We were crossing so many villages. And all of them had darshan of the Lord. So beautiful it was, you know. And they all were waiting on the road and they had frequent intervals they had put up arches for Swami, welcoming Swami. Very beautiful. And as I remember it, I didn't get an opportunity to play the sitar in Hatshi.
Okay.
Because we had bhajans and there was a tight program.
And also it was a short trip, right?
It was a short trip.
5 to 6 days.
It was 3 to 4 days, that's all, Hatshi. Because then after that, we had to go to Mumbai.
Mumbai, yes.
So, in Hatshi, I was a cameraman.
Okay.
The musician part was put in a bundle and then put aside. But Swami was very, very happy there.
Okay.
And see, the thing which really touched Swami's heart, and if you ask me what's the highlight of the Hatshi trip, the highlight, real highlight is what really makes Swami happy.
Okay.
You know, we saw that because on that occasion, you know, in Hatshi they had put up big pandals for devotees and they had made free food arrangements for all of them. And they didn't go and then tom-tom it to Swami and Swami, we made this arrangement, that arrangement. And they had a special Shamiana for VIPs with tables, chairs and free food for everybody. Those 3 days Swami was there. One of those days Swami himself told, I will come and see your grove, coconut grove.
Okay.
They had a big coconut grove and they had a guest house there. So Swami went there to inaugurate that guest house. On his way back, he saw these Shamianas and he said, what are these things? They said, Swami, this is for your devotees. We have made food arrangements. That touched Swami's heart. You won't believe it. That evening, Swami called all the family members and made them sit on the same table as himself. And he said, this is Vijay Bhojanam. He said, when the Pandavas prayed to Lord Krishna, please have food with us. Krishna said, not now. Let the war be over. I will come and have Vijay Bhojanam with you.
Oh, okay.
And he said, today I am having Vijay Bhojanam with these boys because they have taken care of their parents. They are like Pandavas and they have taken care of my devotees. He said, I'm feeling full. I don't need to eat one grain of rice because bliss. I am in total bliss. You have made my devotees happy. You have made my devotees happy. That has made me happy. It has filled my stomach. I don't need anything. And Swami is so happy. I mean, that is the biggest takeaway from the Hatshi trip because Swami was very, very clear. You made my devotees happy, so I'm happy. I mean, I think seva to his devotees is kind of the quickest way to his heart. That was something very beautiful.
True, true.
Anyway, after that we went to Mumbai. And Mumbai, you know, the grandeur and the size and everything is big in Mumbai. Hatshi, yes, we miss that secluded, you know, atmosphere. In Mumbai, you're in the middle of everything. But nevertheless, Swami, even while before we left Hatshi, Swami sent word, tell boys to be ready with a music program.
Okay.
And
so this was the time for the musician aspect to come out.
To come out, I suppose. So Swami said, let the music boys be ready.
Okay.
The music program. So we started practicing even while we were in Hatshi. We were discussing. In fact, we practiced even before we left, because any time Swami could call and say, start. So the sitar in Hatshi was actually in the room, and every morning I would sit and practice a little bit just to make sure that I don't lose touch. But in Hatshi, in Mumbai, Swami said we should have a big program. And it was decided that Swami was having a public meeting in the Brabourne Stadium.
Okay.
Actually, there were two other musicians, world-renowned musicians, who were supposed to perform on that day. And Swami said, let students also perform. So we had practiced well. And we went to the Brabourne Stadium, and suddenly seeing the huge size and the magnitude, I mean, see the huge size and the huge display, massive stage. We all were a bit nervous. And the mic testing had been done. Mics had been set for the other musician, and everything was tested and checked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually sitting on the stage all by myself. Swami had not yet come, and I was really practicing and making sure that, you know, I had to play for a couple of songs sitar and for one or two songs harmonium. So I was practicing, and then Swami came and Swami said, students program first.
Okay.
So then we started, and it was a real success because the sound system was very good and the people were totally thrilled. And, you know, that pride in Swami's eyes, that pride in Swami's eyes when his students do well. At certain places, it was so overwhelming that, you know, almost he became choked. He was filled with emotion. As the boys were singing, he was really choked, and I'm just able to see Swami's face right now as I'm talking about it, in the dim lighting, in the evening light, and the focus lights on the stage, and then Swami's sitting, and then he just, as we went for namaskar, Swami told the singers, Swaralanta Padandi.
Okay.
Sing lot of swaras.
Okay.
So now everything had to be changed online, you know, on the fly. They had to introduce swaras, and our boys were really good, so they could easily do what Swami wanted.
This concert is there in the Hatshi Trip DVD, that's a Sai Blossom production?
That's a small clip is there.
Clip is there.
Yeah.
So those, for those people who actually missed it,
yes,
they can
see a portion of that of in that Brabourne Stadium. So that, Swami was very happy with that program, and I got a chance to play there, opportunity to play for Bhagwan there. And it was like Swami had taken the cream of the music group, so obviously it was a very good program. And I had played for the song Shiva Shankari sung by Ashwath.
Okay.
And,
yes. I guess that song was the highlight for that evening.
Possibly.
That's what I heard. I was not present, of course, on that occasion, but from people who were there.
No, what happened actually, what really made that song on that occasion very challenging and an excellent performance was, somehow or the other, since they were having tabla and mridangam, and they were seated at a distance, there was not perfect coordination, because, you know, they were not sitting next to each other.
And they could not
because
hear
of that,
what the other person
because of
playing.
That, what happened? The tempo became faster.
Okay.
And this song, towards the end, the swaras had to be sung at double speed or I don't know whether it's triple speed. And we thought, we don't know how Ashwath is going to do it. But Ashwath did it.
Yes.
And so fast he sang the swaras, Swami was really choked and very moved actually. Swami was very happy. Very happy. So that is how the Hatshi and Mumbai trip happened. But the Delhi trip and Delhi Shimla trip, which happened in 2010, early 2010, that was quite different, because Swami himself had kind of added my name in the list.
Okay.
And Swami told Sitar boy.
Okay.
And so that was there in the list. So we went to Delhi first. And again, the program was packed. The program was really packed. and we had no slot to perform. So this time we thought, okay, Delhi, Shimla are better practice, 2-3 music programs and all that. And we went there and the program was packed, and inside International Center, Swami had taken all the boys to Baha'i Temple that one of those days. It was a long drive. It was very tiring and very hot. Delhi was very hot at that time. But when Swami went into the Baha'i Temple, you know, the temple is so beautiful. And they had chants from different religions. And Swami was very happy with that. And he was very happy with the way it was all done. Swami has always stood for that. You know, all religions are one. And he follow your own religion. So that was a very nice mood there. But physically speaking, he was tired. Mm-hmm. Visibly, we could see Swami was tired. And we were tired as well. No. Then what happened was, that evening, the state president and others, they decided, let students do the bhajan today, okay, that evening. Because every day the sevadals and others were doing. So we did the bhajans. And for the bhajans, I got a chance to play the sitar.
Okay.
So there were some alap bhajans and all that. It played the sitar. And it was very well received. And Swami was also very happy. And so that was what happened in Delhi. Then we went to Shimla.
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe it, the program in Shimla again is jam-packed. Because obviously Swami is going for there for a day or two, and they would like to, you know, give maximum opportunities to people there. And we understood all that. And the last day, as we were about to leave, the evening tiffin session was going on. The next day we were supposed to leave Shimla,
okay,
and come back to Delhi. Swami was supposed to fly back. We were coming by road. That tiffin time, I got a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Swami, this is classic. You have brought us all the way, telling music group and this and that. And just a thought, you know, just thinking. Now there is no more opportunity left. After this tiffin, we are going there for auditorium inauguration. After auditorium inauguration, they'll have bhajans. We'll come back, have dinner, sleep. Next morning, we are leaving.
Okay.
When are we going to play for you?
Yeah.
The day before this, in the afternoon, in the interview room, Swami had a small session where boys sang without the mic. That was a very informal session. Very impersonal session, informal session. But they sang the songs and Swami was very happy and all that. That happened, no doubt. But the next day, I just got a thought like this during the tiffin time. The moment the thought came, Swami called one of the elder boys, senior boys. Uh-huh. Swami said, now, after this tiffin, boys should sing.
Oh, okay.
Now, I want boys to sing and tell that Veena boy also to play.
Okay, sitar, he said Veena.
He told Veena.
Okay.
Then that boy said, Swami, sitar, that boy only, tell him to play. For a moment, I said, no, this is not happening.
I mean, this is very similar to when you did your first painting.
Exactly.
Correct?
Exactly. And the way Swami answers to your thought, so stunning. I just got the thought and then Swami immediately decided to answer. See, there's nothing great about me. I mean, anybody with that intensity, I think, and Swami always answers. So on that occasion, it happened to me. I won't say that program happened because of me, but possibly one of the prayers.
Yes, okay.
So Swami said, tell him also to play. And so there I played, they sang Vatapi Ganapatim, and along with them I played sitar.
Sitar, okay. Yeah. To a Carnatic song.
To a Carnatic song. And that was something which Swami has always been telling.
Okay.
You play along with Carnatic.
Oh.
You play the Kritis in this. So, played that, and then we came back to Delhi. And then on the flight back from Delhi to Bangalore, I think it was a 2.5 hour flight or so. On the onward journey, Swami was sitting, and then we had taken photographs with Swami, and Swami was kind of sitting in a relaxed mood, but there was nobody around Swami, and we felt we lost a great opportunity. So somehow or the other, I felt very strongly that we should play for Swami, at least an instrumental, and sing for Swami in the plane.
Okay.
Now that was quite an audacious thing to do. I never thought that it could really happen.
Uh-huh.
But I was continuously feeling, no, it will happen. See, because 2.5 hours, why should we waste this golden opportunity? I mean, you are with Swami, Swami is here, and then why should you waste the time? So as we got into the plane, Swami was actually, the plane took off and all that. And Swami said, why, nobody wants photograph with me now. So then students went and we took photograph. Then we requested one of the elders, senior boys, please ask Swami that boys want to sing and play for you. Then Swami's face just lit up. Okay. Because he said, Swami, boy, ikkada, here they'll sing for me. How can they sing here? He said, no, Swami, they will sit next to you. Between the two chairs, you know, they have that aisle, yes, where people walk. Okay. So there is absolutely no place. But then Swami said, this is very beautiful. Swami said, this is not my plane.
Okay. Oh.
He said, this is not my plane. So how can I give permission? You ask the captain. If he says okay, then you can have. So they asked captain, and captain said, Swami, this is your plane. Literally, it was Swami's plane because it was a chartered plane.
Okay.
You can do what you want. So then Swami said, okay, come. So then sitar and flute and tabla. We played an instrumental piece. And Swami was very intently looking at what I was playing. And Swami also liked it. And he enjoyed it. And I just imagine 30,000 feet in the air. And you're sitting right next to Swami's chair in the plane. And then we have blocked the path. the flute player was sitting behind me. That is between, you know, the first row of chairs. And you have the, where you have the cabin for entry and all that. This small place there where the flute boy was sitting, I was sitting in the gap, and we played for about 5-6 minutes. Then Swami was very happy and he said, where are the singers?
Oh, okay.
So then that whole music group, one by one, we had a music concert in mid-air. Can you believe it?
You know, I just got this thought.
Mm.
When we were small and watching these TV serials of Rama and Mahabharata,
correct,
there would be these scenes of, in heaven, they would show these clouds.
Exactly.
And,
it is literally like that. In fact, if you think of Ramayana, God knows what the Vanaras did in that Pushpak Vimanam. You know, Lord Rama is coming back.
True, yeah.
Coming back in that Pushpak Viman with all the Vanaras. We got the chance to actually sing for the Lord in mid-air. Can you believe it? 30,000 feet above the ground, in mid-air with the Lord. And Swami was so involved with all the songs. There's about a 40 minutes program there. And then after I played the instrumental, they came for Carnatic songs. And Swami told, you play along with them.
Okay.
He told, play along with them. In a way, you know, Swami has always been trying to tell me, play along with the Carnatic Kritis.
Okay.
Sitar is a Hindustani.
Yes.
But Swami wants me to grow to that and try to, so I have to learn that.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that. Swami made you play with Dana Gillespie and then he wanted you to play with Begum Parveen Sultana. Now he wants you to play with Carnatic musicians. That's a huge challenge he has put up for you.
It's a huge challenge. And in fact, you know, on one of those occasions when I was just mentioning to Mandalin Srinivas, I had just told him that see, Swami was wanting me to play. They are so great. Their devotion to Swami is so great. They went back home and played on the mandolin 2-3 kritis in absolutely slow speed.
Okay.
You know, Vatapi Ganapatim. That speed they played so that it's easy for me to pick up.
Wow,
and they sent me
that
tape.
So, nice
so sweet. I mean, just because Swami has made that statement, immediately they did that. So that was like one of the most amazing opportunities to play for Swami in mid-air. After that, of course, when we came back here, there was one prayer which I had regarding sitar. I mean, since 2002, I was stuck with the camera, as you can imagine,
yes,
because there was really not many boys. And there was this Ram Katha which Swami liked a lot.
Okay.
Ram Katha, it has all the songs and it is actually from the movie Lavakusha in Telugu. But Swami would ask the students and different pairs of students have been singing it.
Yes.
And I always felt Swami, and all the lead pieces and connection pieces in that are by Veena.
Okay.
Veena has played. So I have picked up all those pieces on sitar and I said, Swami, when will I get this opportunity to play for you? You won't believe it, when we came back, there was Ramanavami function.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly the students decided to have Ram Katha.
Okay.
And then even that desire to play for Ram Katha got fulfilled.
So who was that? Sai Krishna and Om Prasad?
No, was much before. Oh, that was much before. Okay. This was sung by two more boys,
okay.
And they actually did an enactment. As they didn't sing all the songs, as the songs were being sung, they did an enactment of the Rama Sita Kalyanam and that whole thing. They did an enactment.
Okay, uh-huh.
It was a very nice presentation. So what I wanted to say is that any desire, any prayer that you have, and it's really genuine, and it's filled with love for Swami, He will fulfill it. There's no doubt about it. That's what I have experienced.
You know, I've heard of this Midas touch, that whatever he touches turns into gold.
Mm-hmm.
And in your case, whatever you touched, I think Swami accepted it wholeheartedly, whether as an artist, later as a musician, and then as a videographer. I'm sure a lot of the documentaries and videos that you have edited, You had this privilege of showing it to Swami personally.
Correct.
And Swami acknowledging
Correct. It. Swami saw most of them, yeah. Most
amazing.
Of the documentaries that we had edited, Swami has seen physically.
Yes.
In a sense, you know, even that concert in midair, if you think of it, it's the last trip Swami made in his physical form.
Yes.
He's always there, always. So, I mean, what compassion. Swami obviously knew. And he just allowed his children to do whatever came to their mind, just to keep them happy, because that was the last trip.
True. And I think, as I said last time, to repeat, the reason that Swami responded to everything that you did is because you did it with love for Swami.
There's no doubt about it, because if you think of your personal capability and your capacity, we are zeros. When Swami says, you are a zero, only with me you become hero. That is 100% true. And in fact, if you think of it carefully, there is no scope for ego.
Yes, sir, yes.
Like if somebody has really done a lot of hard work and they have achieved something in life, there is scope for ego. Here there is no scope for ego because you know you are nothing. It's and from the heart I know that. It is Swami only. It is His grace that has made anything possible. So, that's it.
Amazing. I think amazing stories. We had, you know, two sessions, and I'm sure that all the listeners loved your stories.
I hope they do.
Yeah, they did, sure. So, I think it is time for us to conclude now, because it's
true.
Been a
But
very
maybe
long
I just
session.
Want to
yes.
conclude with one or two lines, like to put things in perspective. Yes, Swami responded in the physical form when He was here with us. But even now, he responds. And many people have felt that when they pray something, immediately Swami responds. And He makes things happen in a way that you get the what you have prayed for. That has been the experience of many people. So people who have not actually seen Swami physically,
mm-hmm.
people who are listening to this and they feel, oh, we missed a great opportunity. I think there is no need to think like that. Even today, if people took God, I mean, Swami is God in this form. But you just pray to God in any form and He will respond. I think that kind of assurance is what we should leave the listeners with.
True,
because
true.
Many people, you know, there are a lot of people who keep asking, oh, you were so fortunate. Very frankly, as we discussed in the first session, nothing of our greatness. We are not great at all. All the punyam and merits that you have earned is, you know, over in that one darshan.
Yes,
one darshan of Swami. Rest of it is His compassion. Rest of it is His grace. So, there is nothing to feel big or small about it. And Swami always says, if you need me, you deserve me.
Yes.
So, the more and more you think of Him and pray to Him, He will answer your prayers. I think all the incidents that we have spoken of so far prove only this point.
Yes.
That
yes.
when you pray from your heart, He will respond.
You know, pray in the sense, Swami had told that you should yearn for God like how a fish will yearn for water when you take it out of the water.
Very true.
With that intensity, if you yearn for God, obviously
yes.
He is there at that the very second.
Exactly.
So I think with that thought, let's conclude today's amazing session that we had just now. So thank you, Sai Prakash, and maybe sometime in the future, I won't trouble you now.
Okay,
sometime in the future, we will have one more session where we will talk about more of your experiences with Swami. Need not be exclusively related to music, but you know,
Okay, sure. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patient listening as well.
Thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are with me, Chandu Vijay, and is listening to Love to Love. The time in our studios is 3:26 p.m. and it is almost time for me to conclude. Stay tuned. At 3:30 p.m. we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari, hosted by Brother Ganesh. Till then, enjoy the music.
I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. And it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. And it's sweet and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love and over again. And it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I keep feeling your love in me over and over. Days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and 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 I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. And it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. And it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over. get sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. I keep feeling your love in me over and over again. And it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I. 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 And it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and it's sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I. Oh, what a love between my sigh and I.